This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Factor.
In 1745, English authorities arrested a man in a London coffee shop for espionage. His pockets were full of diamonds. He played the violin like a master. The interrogators finally let him go. The man only gave a name, the Count of Saint-Germain. And for 200 years, the Count would appear at every turning point in European history and American history. And in all that time, he never aged a day.
Bon appétit.
Yumi, I'm all out of blubbers. I need your emergency stash.
I don't have any emergency stash.
Yeah, you're not fooling anybody, mister. Second drawer, left side.
Why do you desperately need blorpus?
I'm going vegetarian, and the blorpus will make the food taste better, if you catch my drift.
Drift?
What'd I say? Anyway, I've gone vegetarian to become more ethical, to correct my karmic imbalance.
Every week you're trying to scam people out of money.
Listen, I'm offsetting my personality.
Well, it doesn't seem to be going well.
It's because it's not. Everything I eat tastes like grass and dirt.
What ingredients are you using?
Grass and dirt.
That might be the issue.
I thought vegetarian food was supposed to be joyless. Otherwise, how would everyone know I'm better than them?
You don't have to suffer to eat vegetarian.
Suffering is part of the brand, human.
Or you can just use Factor. They have real vegan and veggie options that taste like actual food.
Oh, did you just butterball me into today's sponsor?
Yep. Factor is a subscription meal service that delivers pre-prepared meals right to your door. They're fresh, never frozen, and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Factor offers over 100 rotating weekly options, from meals and salads to breakfast and shakes, all designed with flavor first. And Factor is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider range of meal plans to choose from, there's really something for everyone. You can choose from plans like high protein, calorie smart, GLP-1 support, low carb, and more, depending on what you're working toward. And Factor meals are made with real ingredients. No refined seed oils, sugars, artificial colors, or artificial sweeteners, keeping you away from ultra-processed foods. I actually eat Factor every day at the studio. It's my go-to dinner solution for a clean, healthy meal, fueling me for a long night of writing or research. Head to factor75.com or click the link below and use code THEYFILESFB50 to get 50% off your first Factor box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase.
Code the Y-Files FB50 at factor75.com to get 50% off free breakfast for a year.
That's right.
I hate to say this, but the Factor vegetarian meals are actually good.
Well, of course they are. They're real food.
Well, that's the upsetting part. I was expecting sadness and maybe a lecture.
No lectures.
And I didn't have to tell anyone I'm vegetarian.
Well, you told me.
Yeah, but if I don't constantly talk about it, am I really a vegetarian?
After disappearing from London, the Count resurfaced 13 years later in France at the court of Versailles. He dressed in velvet with rings and diamonds on every finger. Nobody knew where he came from or how he got his money. He became the must-have guest at every dinner party. He played piano and violin so beautifully that people were moved to tears. And he was a brilliant conversationalist. He spoke 20 languages without an accent. He had immense knowledge about everything. He even impressed Voltaire.
He is a man who never dies and who knows everything. He is very singular and will probably have the honor of seeing Your Majesty in the course of 50 years.
But where the Count really excelled was in history. He did a perfect impression of Henry VIII. He knew the details of conversations and relationships that didn't appear in any books. When asked how he could know so much about people who'd been dead for years, the Count would simply smile and say, "I was there." The Count also knew about alchemy. He claimed he discovered the Philosopher's Stone, the elixir of life. That's why he never aged. Even when served the finest wines and food, the Count never ate. He sipped his special elixir, nothing else.
Nothing tastes as good as skinny fields.
But the Philosopher's Stone had another quality that interested the wealthy at court. It could change base metals into gold. And the Count of Saint Germain said he can prove it. One day, the Count met Giacomo Casanova. Casanova knew a con man when he saw one. He handed Saint Germain a silver coin and challenged him to turn it to gold. The Count accepted. He handed back the coin. It was pure gold.
He took the coin, put a black substance on it, and placed it on the fire. When it cooled, he said, "Take your coin." I examined it, and it was pure gold.
King Louis learned about this ability and wanted to know what the Count knew about precious stones. The Count claimed he could remove flaws from diamonds and even create larger diamonds by melting smaller ones together. The king was skeptical.
"Your Majesty, I have witnessed Christ turn water into wine. Diamonds are a mere trifle. I spent 5 years in the Shah's laboratory beneath the palace at Isfahan, learning a technique discovered long before Archimedes walked the earth."
The king had a diamond that, without its flaw, would be worth twice as much.
"Give me your flawed stone. In 30 days, I will return it perfect. And if I fail, you may keep my laboratory and everything in it."
A month later, the Count returned with the diamond. Flawless. The king's jeweler looked at it and valued the stone at 9,600 francs, almost double the flawed stone. The king was so impressed that he gave the Count a private laboratory in the palace. The Count became a fixture at Versailles, working all day in his lab and spending all night dazzling the king's guests. Then the skeptics got another chance to test him. One evening, Countess von Giorgi approached him. She recognized the Count from Venice in 1710, about 50 years earlier. The Countess asked if his father had been in Venice at that time.
"No, madam. It was I who had the honor of paying you court. You wore... yes, it was a gown of emerald silk that evening, I believe. Ah, yes. We danced the minuet in the Doge's palace. You asked me about my travels to Constantinople, and I told you about the Sultan's mechanical bird that sang without winding. You laughed and said, 'I told the most charming lies.'"
The Countess just stood there staring. And after a long moment, she asked, "What else happened that night?"
"Your husband, the Count, was, gambling in the back room?"
"Yes, that's it.
He lost 3,000 ducats that night. You were, You were worried he would lose the estate. And then, oh dear, 2 years later, he did. I'm so sorry."
The Countess was stunned. She remembered the night perfectly, and so did the Count. The man she met 50 years earlier was about 45 years old. The man standing right in front of her was about 45 years old. He hadn't aged a day. The Countess said, "You must be 100 years old." The Count smiled and said, "That is not impossible."
"Entry the Chrome! I knew it!"
That's just a conspiracy.
How many conspiracies have we talked about in this show that came true?
All of them.
Uh-huh.
But the Count of Saint Germain was lying about his age. He wasn't 100 years old. That number was closer to 2,000. Word quickly spread through Paris. The Count didn't learn history from books. He learned it because he was there. He described the court of Nero with casual, specific details that no book contained.
"I remember the gardens of Babylon clearly. Nebuchadnezzar would walk those hanging gardens at dawn, muttering about his dreams. He thought God was speaking to him. Perhaps he was. I also remember the fire in Rome. Nero didn't start it, despite what history claims. But he did play his lyre while it burned. Quite beautifully, actually."
He spoke of the apostles as if they were old friends. And this led to a theory. Some believe the Count was Cartophilus, the legendary wandering Jew. According to the legend, Cartophilus was a porter for Pontius Pilate. When Jesus stopped to rest while carrying the cross, Cartophilus struck him and told him to keep moving. Jesus looked at him and said, I shall go and I will rest, but you shall not rest until I return. Cartophilus was cursed with immortality, destined to wander the earth until the second coming.
Immortality sounds pretty good until you realize you gotta pay alimony for 2,000 years.
Yeah, I don't think he was married.
2,000 years and no wife? This guy should do seminars.
The legend of the wandering Jew matches the Count's description perfectly. And now the wanderer was wandering west. But he wasn't just watching history, he was shaping it. The Count of Saint-Germain had charmed Versailles, fixed the king's diamond, and convinced an eyewitness that he hadn't aged in 50 years. But he wasn't content to stay in France. He had work to do. He was in Russia helping bring Catherine the Great to the throne. British officers saw him in India speaking fluent Hindi. He traveled to The Hague to broker peace between Prussia and Austria. In Germany, he taught hypnosis to a young physician named Anton Mesmer, who said the Count understood the workings of the human mind better than anyone alive. And some say this was how the Count talked his way out of that English prison back in 1745.
Jedi mind trick.
Something like that.
You're not the Count we're looking for.
You're not the Count we're looking for.
Move along.
Move along.
Move along.
Move along.
But his most famous intervention happened in America in the summer of 1776. The debate about the Declaration of Independence wasn't going well. The delegates were terrified. Signing that document was treason against the British crown. The penalty was death. And just as the talks were breaking down, a stranger stood up in the back of the room, and his voice thundered across the hall.
We have petitioned, we have implored, and we have been spurned. If we sign this declaration, the rope awaits us all.
We must hang together, or we shall surely hang separately.
Gentlemen, you stand at the threshold of history. God has given America to be free. Your children will ask what you did in this hour. Will you tell them you feared the rope more than you loved liberty? Prove them wrong. Sign that parchment. Men not yet born will read these words and find courage. So I ask you, will you sign? Or will you explain to your grandchildren why you chose chains over courage?
The delegates were inspired. They rushed forward to sign the declaration. And when the frenzy died down, they turned to thank the stranger. But he was gone. The doors were locked, and the guards saw nothing.
It sounds like the same guards who were supposed to be watching Epstein.
Let's not get into that. All we know is that the stranger was a man of average height, dressed in black, who appeared to be about 45 years old. And back in Europe, the Count continued his work. In 1779, he befriended a German prince. He spent the next 5 years as a guest in the prince's castle. Then on February 27th, 1784, the Count of Saint-Germain died of pneumonia. He was laid to rest at a local church, and his funeral was attended by royalty. It seemed the immortal man had finally met his end. But less than a year later, the Count was back. The Count of Saint-Germain died in 1784. His body was buried. And then in 1785, he started appearing again. The French Freemasons chose the Count as their representative. He appeared at diplomatic meetings across Europe. The British saw him in London. The Prussians saw him in Berlin. Then in 1789, he returned to France with a warning. He told the Queen's closest friend that a conspiracy was underway to destroy the monarchy.
The sun of France is setting. The Bastille will fall. The mob will storm Versailles. I have watched this pattern destroy Rome and Babylon. Marie Antoinette must flee immediately. The people demand her blood. Your children face the same fate.
The king finally demanded to see the Count, but once again he was gone. A few weeks later, the French Revolution began. The Bastille fell. In her memoirs, Marie Antoinette wrote that she wished she had taken the Count more seriously. 4 years later, the Countess d'Adhémar watched the guillotine blade come down on Marie Antoinette. And standing beside the Countess, watching silently, was the Count of Saint Germain. Same face, same age, 9 years after his funeral. He appeared to the Countess one last time in 1820. That's 36 years after his funeral. He told her he was tired of the chaos in Europe.
I am leaving France. I must go to Constantinople, then to England, and finally to the Himalayas. I will rest there. But people will see me again in 82 years.
The Count vanished again. But 82 years later, a man moved into a mansion in New Orleans. He looked exactly like the Count. But this time, he wasn't interested in politics. He was interested in blood. In 1902, a wealthy man named Jacques Saint-Germain threw expensive parties in the French Quarter. He spoke flawless French. He was an expert historian and a master musician. And he looked exactly like the portraits of the Count from 150 years earlier. He claimed to be a descendant. Jacques never ate at his own parties. He just stood by the window sipping liquid from a goblet.
Neutrino chrome.
One night, the party stopped. A woman screamed. Then she fell from the second-story balcony onto the street below. Bystanders rushed to help her. She told the police she didn't fall, she jumped. She pointed up at the balcony. Jacques Saint-Germain had cornered her. He grabbed her, held her down, and bit her neck. The police banged on the door. No answer. They broke it down. Jacques Saint-Germain was gone. They searched the kitchen. No food, no silverware, but they found rows of wine bottles, corked and sealed. When they opened them, the smell hit them instantly. It wasn't just wine. It was a mixture of red wine and raw human blood.
I told ya!
Jacques Saint-Germain was never seen in New Orleans again. But the Count wasn't finished making appearances. The vampire of New Orleans vanished in 1902. But sightings of the Count continued throughout the 20th century. During World War I, two Bavarian soldiers captured a man who spoke many languages but wouldn't give his name. He told them the war would end in 1918, and he was right. And he also said a tyrant from the lower classes would wear an ancient symbol and lead Germany into another global war in 1939, and that Germany would be defeated in 6 years after committing unspeakable acts of violence. The soldiers thought the man was crazy until 1939, when history unfolded exactly as the Count predicted. Then, in 1930, Guy Ballard met the Count of Saint-Germain on Mount Shasta in California. Ballard founded the I Am Activity movement, based on Saint-Germain's teachings. It still exists today.
Oh, I should start a religion at a Brotherhood of the Golden Scale. Donations are tax deductible.
Please, don't start a cult.
It's not a cult, human. It's a high-yield spiritual investment opportunity involving lizard people mugs. They're available now at the Wi-Fi store, and they make great Christmas gifts.
No plugs until the end, please.
Worst salesman ever.
In 1972, Richard Chanfray appeared on French television. He claimed to be the Count of Saint-Germain. He said he was immortal. And to prove it, he performed the Count's most famous trick, live on the air. He set up a simple camping stove. He took a lead bar. He melted it down in a crucible and added a strange powder. When the metal cooled, it wasn't lead anymore.
Oh, did this guy make gold with a camping stove?
Yep, it was even tested. The guy made gold from lead. And Chanfray never revealed his secret. He died in 1983, officially by suicide. But believers say the Count simply moved on to his next identity. After all, he'd done it many times before. The Count of Saint-Germain was definitely a real person. There's no debate about it. But the claims that he was supernatural, well, let's take a closer look. People have been telling the story of the Count of Saint-Germain for hundreds of years. But how much is true? Well, let's start with the languages. The legends claim he fooled native speakers. Not true.
When English authorities arrested him in 1745, they noticed his English was broken. He spoke French with a Piedmont accent. That's somewhere near France, Italy, up that area. Now, King Louis was taken with him, but the king wasn't a deep thinker. His own doctor called Saint-Germain-en-Laye.
Doctors hate anyone who can cure things without a copay.
The king's chief minister ordered the count's arrest. That's why he left France, not to go on some diplomatic mission, to avoid the law. When Saint-Germain turned Casanova's coin into gold, it wasn't alchemy. It was close-up magic, sleight of hand. And Casanova admitted the count was brilliant, but he recognized a fellow con man when he saw one.
Yay, game recognized game. Saint-Germain had style. Casanova just had a bunch of STDs.
That's true, actually.
Saint-Germain turned coins into gold. Casanova just turned relationships into awkward doctor visits.
Now, the king's diamond repair was also likely a switch. Flawed stone in, different stone out. The king's mistress examined the count's gems and laughed. She said they were all very pretty, but they were all obviously fake. Even Voltaire's famous quote about the man who never dies was sarcasm. The countess who recognized him from 50 years prior? Well, she was nearly 90 years old and senile. Saint-Germain himself pointed this out, but the legend stuck anyway. He was one to build on his own story. And Richard Chanfray's television transmutation? That was also stage magic. Chanfray was a professional entertainer. He used a hollowed-out piece of charcoal with gold inside, and it was sealed with black wax. When the wax burned off, only the gold was left. The Count's final stop was Prince Charles's castle in Germany. And the prince noted that Saint-Germain wasn't a youthful adventurer, but a small, gray-haired man in his 90s. The post-death sightings come from anonymous theosophy writings. The Marie Antoinette accounts can't be verified. Jacques Saint-Germain in New Orleans is folklore. There's no eyewitness accounts, no police records. Guy Ballard in Mount Shasta? Well, he's a convicted fraudster who plagiarized his teachings from science fiction novels. The best theory is simple. Saint-Germain was the illegitimate son of an Italian princess. This explains the specific accent and his familiarity with languages like Italian and French. He was a brilliant man who used charm to befriend wealthy patrons. But when the money ran out, he died alone. But here's what bothers me about that neat little explanation. When Saint-Germain died, the important items were missing. He played the violin, but there was no violin. No personal letters. No trinkets from his adventures. No money. Like he was covering his tracks. Now, the Count's death is documented, but his grave was destroyed and his body never recovered. The church records still exist, and researchers have requested access over the years. Some requests are granted, but others aren't, and nobody really knows why. Maybe it's just bureaucracy, or maybe someone decided that certain details about the Count of Saint-Germain are better left unexamined. Because that's what you do, isn't it? If you were immortal? If you'd learn that the only way to survive forever was to make sure that no one could ever prove you existed, you'd vanish completely, and then you'd start again and again, somewhere else, someone new. The story of the Count of Saint-Germain is probably debunked, but I will admit there's a part of me that hopes that he's out there somewhere, playing the violin, telling stories at dinner parties, sipping his elixir, and waiting for yet one more chance to step in and change the course of history. Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ, that's Hacklefish.
Game recognized game!
If you had fun, learned anything, do him a favor, like, subscribe, share, comment, that stuff. I think it helps the channel. And like most topics we cover here, today's was recommended by you. In fact, this was a do-over from a few years ago where I screwed up and I did it in two parts. Oh, it was a mess. So today was the Saint-Germain story, but expanded with some new goodies that I found in my research. I hope you enjoyed it. Oh, if you want to recommend a topic, thewifiles.com/tips, or email us, jump on Discord, hit us up in the YouTube chat. You can reach us a bunch of different ways. We're always looking for topics. Now remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. You can take us on the road. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here. We also simulcast the stories we cover here. And we post stories that wouldn't be allowed here. Those are called unredacted, I think. The podcast is called The Y-Files, Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. And if you are listening on an audio platform, if there are buttons down there like thumbs ups and hearts and ratings and things like that, Help us out and click those. It really does make a difference. If you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. There are thousands of people on there 24/7. They're into the same weird stuff we talk about here. It's a great community. If you're feeling down, it's really supportive. But otherwise, it's just a lot of fun and it's free to join. And speaking of 24/7, make sure you check out the 24/7 live stream over on... I forgot where it is. On the Y-Files backstage, there's a link down below. Over there, we run episodes back-to-back, 24/7, with some weird, fun content in between. If you're a fan of the show, I think you'll like it. But over there, an incredible community has sprung up with... There's always thousands of people on there chatting, so hop over there. Again, it's free to hang out, and we'd love to have you. Now, in a few weeks, I'm launching a new show called The Basement, where I'll be chatting with interesting people. Some of them you know, some you don't, but they're all people that I find fascinating. Now, if there's someone you'd like to see on the show, let us know. We're always on the hunt for good guests. Again, the show is called The Basement, and the episodes will land right here on the main channel until something else happens. Special thanks to our patrons. I say it every week, and I mean it every week. I couldn't do this without the support of my Patreon community. You guys are amazing. Without you, I'd still be talking to nobody from a closet somewhere in Plano. Instead, I'm in here talking to nobody in a bigger closet somewhere in Vegas. Hey, it's a step up, and I couldn't have done it without you. Okay, and this is what happens when I go off script, when I'm too tired. I should learn my lesson a long time ago. If you would like to join this incredible community, keep us going, keep me crazy, become a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members. You get access to merch that's discontinued because it's secretly not discontinued. We just take it off the store and we give it to patrons only. You also get first crack at new merch, like the challenge coins usually sell out before we even release them to the public. And I think we're due to release another challenge coin maybe in a couple of weeks. But the best perk there is the private live streams. You get 2 private live streams every week just for you, and that's me and the whole team are on the stream, plus you can turn your camera on, hop up on stage, ask a question, anything you want. Oh, we're also going to be adding another Patreon feature. Hear me making weird sounds with my hands? Yeah, that's my hands. It's not anything else. We're adding a new feature on Patreon where you can send your questions in to me and the team, and we'll make quick videos and answer your questions for you. I think it's going to be super fun. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab yourself a heck of a t-shirt, or one of these festival coffee mugs. You can stick your fist in there. If you put your holiday appendage in there, it is the season to be festival. Or a hoodie, or grab something with my face on it, or grab one of these squeezy animals. Oh, look, I can't take how adorable he is. Grab one of these animal squeezy fishy heck of a style toy, tattoos.
But before you buy merch, become a member on YouTube. It only costs $3, but you get 10% off everything in the store. This is great for holiday shopping. I think we've got a few days left to do that. So you join for $3, you get the code for 10% off. So if you're going to spend $40 on t-shirts or Fistable coffee mugs, the code pays for itself. And look, if you want to cancel after you use the code, that's totally fine. The code is there to save you money, not make me money. In fact, all that revenue goes to the team, not to me.
Keep that secret close to your gills, eh?
Those are the plugs, and that's gonna do it. Till next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
Oh, 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 yeah. I play Polybius in Area 51, a secret code. Inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing it like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set? Or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens.
just fought the smiling man, I'm told. And his name was Cold.
And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fishes. Heckle fish on Thursday nights with AJ2. And
the Mothman sightings and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found.
We're in a simulation, don't you worry though.
The Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe we'll be right back.